This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Schultzy is here, everybody. Schultzy. Not
what up,
to be
man?
Confused with Jordan Schultz, the NFL scribe who got in a fight at Starbucks in Indianapolis. Our Jordan Schultz, a.k.a. Schultzy.
Good to see you, man. Good to be in. What's up, everybody? What's up, sports fans? I will be at opening day on Thursday, so I'm in a great mood.
What?
Yeah, going to see the Mariners v. Athletics without a city, but going to be fun at T-Mobile Park on Thursday, so.
Is it?
What? Is it what?
Is it going to be fun?
I mean, why wouldn't it be? There's $5 Miller High Lifes for me. Got some cheap hot dogs before and after the game when they do the 2-for-1.
So it's about the food and drink.
I mean, it's about the team. They just made a big move. They've actually been making all the right moves this week. But beyond that, I'm just excited to be out in the sun.
What if it's a terrible game?
I mean, that'll
suck. What if it's 1-0?
You know what? I'm there drinking with my wife, so I can't complain.
That's baseball.
We love to hang out in the pen.
That's baseball.
Absolutely.
I think
you
go to the baseball games, you'll have a good time no matter what. That's not necessarily true of some other sports. If the game sucks, the experience might suck.
Ooh, that's fair.
You know what I'm saying?
No,
the ballpark. There's just something about being at the ballpark, baby.
Huge fan of baseball. It seems like an easier game to go watch as compared to other sports. You kind of got to be more involved in the other ones. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they're kind of football is kind of uncomfortable. Generally speaking, baseball is a little more comfortable. You lounge around, you have pops, you can converse.
I mean, hot take, I'm getting kind of chubby, but
what?
Maybe it's not just me. Maybe there are other people out there that could actually attest to the seats at stadiums just don't feel comfortable anymore. I mean, going to a game regardless of the sport just doesn't feel good on my hips. And I mean, I'm not. I would say I'm probably bordering on fat. I'm not like truly fat, but like I'm sure there are other guys out there bordering
Schultzy,
on fat.
Be nice to yourself today.
I am.
It's
no.
90 degrees outside. For heaven's
sake. Sweat some of this off. So go out and enjoy the nice day instead of being here.
Schultzy needs oily hips.
Ooh, yeah. Slip into those chairs. No, that is why I do go with the padded, like bigger chairs as often as I can find those ticks.
Here's what I would tell you. I would tell you that today is a day of the chub up north. I mean, come on.
Big
they
dumper.
Signed a big dumper. Woo. They also brought in Rowdy Tellez, the big fat guy from the Brewers.
They did.
Or the Pirates, maybe.
Like Daniel Vogelbach 2.0. I don't want to talk sports too early here, but yeah, no, they're making moves, and they're making moves for chubby guys up
there. You got to lock up the chubs before the season starts. You know,
those chubs are apparently, what is it like? like fat acceptance, whatever the movement is, like Mariners are like at the forefront of that or something.
Is that a thing? Fat acceptance? I accept fat. I've always accepted fat.
Yeah, it's I think it's more so a social media driven thing. Like everybody,
fat's great.
I would agree that it has its advantages. Yes.
Hell, I'm fat.
Also has its disadvantages. I don't know what the hell you're talking about. Your skinny ass was probably out on the golf course this morning enjoying yourself.
No, I wish.
No?
You know, I wish.
Perfect weather, man.
I hit some balls yesterday, if you must know.
Yeah, some
but, didn't
Pro
have time.
V ones.
You know, today was Tuesday Bi-Mart day. I have to take my father-in-law to Bi-Mart.
You're a Bi-Mart guy.
Oh, yeah. Dude, I'm a P1. Bi-Mart's great, and I'm not
they are.
Kidding.
I agree with you.
Do you have a membership to Bi-Mart?
I do have that membership, yes, sir.
Bi-Mart, those that, if you know, you know. You know that saying?
I mean, yeah.
If you know, you know.
They got stuff for much cheaper than like maybe a Kroger's or something like that.
And they have everything. The lines aren't too long. The employees are competent and nice. And they're always it's always the same people. I mean, whatever you need, they have it.
No, it's true. Now you don't. Maybe
it's cheaper.
Don't go buy electronics there, but everything else, because those aren't cheaper.
Sometimes they are. You got to wait for the sales. Yeah, Bi-Mart has killer sales.
I mean, you're not wrong. I'm a deal hunter, so I guess
so.
I
we go
get on
there
that
for Lucky Number Tuesday. Do you go for Lucky Number Tuesday? Are you lucky enough?
I don't think I've ever been for Lucky Number Tuesday.
Oh, come on, man.
I'm a degenerate gambler, too, so I need to.
You know, speaking of that, Buckley sent me a note last night. I was talking to him about TGL. He's in Hawaii right now, he's in Maui.
Oof.
Which, according to Suk, is very mid. But the pictures I saw from Buckley's vacation are not mid. He's doing great. Although I'm sure it's expensive.
I'll send you some, too. I bet you we're going to have to.
Please do. Yeah. Oh, look at this. A one-up. Did you just try to one-up Buckley?
I've been hearing about his white privilege, but the hotel. And by the way, everyone's like, oh, Schultzy, big spender, when I was talking about it yesterday. Like, no, I use Priceline Express deals. I am able to hack in and get deals at hotels. Exactly. Merry Christmas to me, even in, what, March, April, because I found a hell of a deal on a 5-star hotel in Maui.
Oh, hey.
So
that's great. Thanks, however man. You can stay there. I don't care. The 5-star's where it's at, man.
It's
once you go 5, you'll never go back. That's
it's so true.
Say.
And it's for our honeymoon, so we got to do it up, you know?
Oh, yeah, it's for that.
Yeah,
you got to do it.
We
gotta
can't.
Do it right. Well,
my
Buckley,
parents went to the coast, so I got to do more than that.
Why? The coast is great.
For like a night? That was their honeymoon?
It's nice out there.
Yeah, for one night. I would say that they deserved a little bit more.
Well, that's what they wanted.
But Buckley wants Hawaii, it sounds like.
Well, Buckley's, he's very White Lotus. Like, he belongs on, he and his family belong on White Lotus.
Oh, God.
They do. Now, I can't imagine that they're as insufferable as a lot of the families on White Lotus. The Buckleys are a delightful clan. But, come on, that's what I picture. And I saw some photos. They look great out there, all in their Hawaiian shirts and everything. Anyway, I was talking to him last night. For those wondering, because we were a little disappointed he did not text in about TGL yesterday.
Yeah.
He didn't even know what was going on until he texted me. He's like, oh, my God. He goes, I'm so sorry. He texted me out of the blue at like 7:30. And I'm watching TGL. I'm not kidding. I'm watching TGL at the house when I got home.
That's great.
And it's the first time I've seen it with sound.
Oh, so you actually got to enjoy it.
Yeah, because usually it's on in here.
Yeah.
And I never get to hear it. Well, it's even worse with the sound, I must say. But
just a little more boring?
Yeah, it's... Well, there's a commentator, and he doesn't really know what to say.
No.
And so you just kind of lay out and let the guys that are mic'd up...
I don't recognize the commentator either. I didn't...
Yeah, he's a Golf Channel guy.
Oh, okay. I was like, is this like an esports pro? Or
maybe he's an NBC guy. I don't know. But yeah, and then they're mic'd up, but boy, there's nothing worse than golfers mic'd up, man. I love golf, but I got to tell you, the Netflix show...
Full Swing. Yeah, very good.
Yeah.
I mean, I like season one. Season two kind of started to...
Listen, I'll watch anything that's behind the scenes of golf because I love the game. But if you're trying to grab people from outside of golf, golfers, they're not going to do that. The lack of personality is astounding. It really is. I mean, it's like, oh, God, they're so buttoned up and they're so, I don't know, there's just, it's just the nature of golf to have a cob squarely inserted in your rectum. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, you usually, it's like golf or lacrosse or skiing. You come from rich families and you're
it's
just
an elitist proper kind of.
You've been,
which is why I love it.
You've been growing up at the country clubs essentially, right? It's kind of your scene.
Dude, without Bryson DeChambeau, there's no personality in golf at all.
I mean, that sounds like just a rich name. Bryson DeChambeau.
Bryson DeChambeau. With his caviar and
even
salmon.
Tiger. I mean, he was great, but he wasn't a... He's a bump on a log, personality-wise. So anyway, my point is, even with them mic'd up and you're watching TGL, it's really boring because they don't... They try to talk crap to each other, but it's not great.
Yeah, you golf. You thought this would be a little bit more removed from, like, it's just, yeah, that kind of highfalutin attitude.
Anyway,
maybe what some beers.
What I was going to tell you was,
get them drinking.
Well, the best part about TGL on TV is the crowds. There's a bunch of famous people that they surely pay to be there or give free drinks or something.
That's great.
And they interview them, and that's fun. Anyway, God, focus. What I was going to tell you was, you talked about gambling. Buckley, in my text thread back and forth with him last night, first of all, he said he didn't know TGL was on until he was at the swim up bar, and he swam up to the bar for a cocktail, and he saw it on the TV. So he thought to text me, and he says, oh my God, I'm so sorry I don't get to share this moment with you. And I was like, well, I'm a little hurt. You didn't even ask for my picks. I thought I got the boot, you know? And he was like, I'm so sorry. But he's like, he said... And now you tell me if you think this is on brand for Buckley, because I don't think it is.
All right.
He goes, there's no way I'm going to watch TGL while I'm on vacation with my family. And I thought,
I mean,
I'm surprised by that, because I actually thought anything, I think he's a degenerate gambler and he bets on everything. And yeah. So whatever he bets on, I think he keeps an eye on. Not that he sits down and ignores his family and watches TGL, but... You know, aren't we all in the sports business? You've been in the sports business a while. We are adept at watching sports without you knowing that we're watching sports.
I mean, that's absolutely true.
I do that all the time.
But does your wife ever get on you for, like, being on your phone too much? Because I know mine does. You know, my wife and I do spend a lot of time. It sucks trying to, like, build a Twitter account or an X account or whatever the hell you want to call it, because you kind of have to, like, be locked in.
Well, you're building a brand.
Even when you don't want to be, you know, but
it's
true.
You're trying to take over the United States of sport.
Darn tootin', at least it's United Schultzy. States of Seattle Mariners.
That
man.
Is a commitment. You tell her that is a commitment.
Oh, she knows. Trust me. I've been up at 2, 3 a.m. doing crazy stuff.
What does that mean?
Like shipping packages.
Yeah.
Nothing.
What?
Nothing out of the ordinary.
Wow.
Well, my wife will judge me. I can see it in her eyes, but she'll never say anything. But
oh, okay.
Look, it's my job. It's our job. But I do a pretty good job, even if I have bets out there,
yeah,
of being able to participate. I did it this weekend. Okay, so here's a good example. We went up to a friend's cabin in just outside of Sandy near the mountain.
Ooh, white privilege.
Yeah, very nice. I'm not going to lie. It was very nice. But yeah. We got lucky. I've got a new LLC, and it's going to be called You Buy, We Try, because they just bought this place, and they're going to do an Airbnb and this whole retreat sort of thing. And they just said, hey, we need some guinea pigs to go up and work out the kinks. And I was like, you came to the right guy.
That's, yeah, please.
So
it's perfect.
The kids were going up to ski. My wife and I were at the house or at the cabin, and I wanted to watch March Madness. I had I got bets. I got things. This is my job.
Well, and it's, you know, literally it's on every channel. So
yeah, it's like I kind of need to keep an eye on it. You know, it's kind of that. So the kids don't get into Mount Hood because apparently you have to be up there at 2 a.m. if you want to get into the parking lot. They get denied because it's like that. It's like the best day of the year to ski. There's a bunch of snow up there and everybody's up there and they can't get into the parking lot. And they're like, we're not going to wait. We're going to come back to the house and start drinking.
Yeah.
So they did. And we played some games and stuff. But, you know, every once and there's no TV in the main house. This is the key, Schultzy.
Uh-oh.
There's no TV. They want it to be create a more of a retreat. Away from the electronics type of feel, which I totally respect.
What, like a checking out or whatever vibe? Yeah.
However, there is a TV up at the, what they call the bunkhouse over the garage. So I'd sneak up there, watch a little golf, place a few golf wagers, watch some basketball, and sneak back down, play a couple games. It's like it's a delicate dance. It's a fine line. I think we'd do it pretty well. I'm sure Suk does it too. If he were here, he would agree. You just have to kind of watch sports. Without, you have to go about your life, but still watch sports.
Oh, absolutely.
Way more so than the average Joe. So anyway.
But I think maybe at the same time you need a break. Maybe Buck's taking a 2-week.
That's right. It's fair.
Yeah, that could be. Because it really is smart to check out, especially if you're betting every day, which, hey, I'm a degenerate. I do, but I do need to take a break sometimes.
That's fair. But I just didn't think he had that in him. I thought he's gambling and he loves TGL and this is the final and you can't miss the final and he'll bet on it and he'll keep an eye on it without his family knowing it. None of that was true. He is completely checked out, had no idea TGL finals were going on, and I'm quite frankly disappointed in him. Do you think that that is on brand for Ryan Buckley?
Because I did not think it was on brand, but like he said, it's kind of funny that you point out, like, well, I had to go up to this, you know, TV above the garage to watch March Madness.
Or
the bunkhouse,
please.
Excuse me.
Thank you.
Sorry, fancy bunkhouse. I don't want
to,
like...
Gotta go to the bunkhouse.
Isaac Rupp in, like, a one-car garage over there. No, not good enough for him. No, but then Buckley also maybe had to go somewhere to watch a game, and he didn't know what was going on, or he was out doing stuff, and then at the grotto, because most of those swim-up bars in Hawaii, I believe, have a couple of TVs in there, the one that we're going to, looks like it did on the pictures, so maybe he didn't know what was going on until then, and just
he
checked
out.
That's kind of how it works, man. When you go to places to be with your family,
I'm just surprised.
No, I'm.
I thought he hated his family.
Oh, come on! That isn't his family the ones that give him white privilege?
No, I just mean his immediate family. Like, he's got two little rat fart kids. He can't like those kids yet, can he? I mean, it takes time.
I don't know. My wife and I are trying to have kids. I'm going to love them once they get here. But what a year you're saying? Then they're going to just be like handed off to the parents, and we never want to see them again.
No, it's not that you don't love your kids. Come on, Schultzy, think about this. Kids are awful. You love them, but especially when with our kid, it was like
it gets to an age.
Yeah, six, seven. That's kind of fun. It starts to get fun, but you know. Wiping butts and...
They have terrors. You know, they are terrors, excuse me, is what I'm trying to say at times.
They're just awful.
Well,
but
I usually get sick. I get sick from them.
Yes, exactly.
My best friend's kids always get me sick.
Exactly.
Love you, Nick, but you're... I mean, he knows. His kids get him sick all the
sick.
Time.
They're always sick. It's disgusting.
It is. It's like, don't touch me, please.
But we love them, and we take care of them, and we nurture them, and we teach them, and we guide them. We still think they're awful. It's okay to admit that. We've covered a lot here. Thank
we
you.
Have.
My ADHD. Opening segment.
My ADHD is kind of taking us to six different places. I apologize.
Yeah, it is your fault.
It is. It always is.
So Schultzy's in for Buckley. Buckley's in Hawaii. Suk is at the coast with BTJ and BTJ's father. Now, he is a very stern and stoic and regal Japanese businessman.
Kind of like the one that you always see in the movies.
Yeah, well, if you watch the Tokyo series, you weren't on our show last week when they had the Tokyo series. I was telling Suk this, that the guys behind home plate, did you watch any of Cubs Dodgers in Tokyo?
Yeah.
The guys behind home plate that were sitting in the stands with just very stoic in the suits.
Didn't look happy, yes.
Yeah, they look miserable. But well, they don't really look miserable. They're just very stern. And they don't cheer or anything. Like, they show no emotion whatsoever. I love those guys. Those guys are awesome. You know those big time smart Japanese businessmen?
No, I know what you mean.
And that's BTJ's dad.
That's awesome.
So he's here for the first time in the States. And she made him leave the show and tootle around it with this man because they have to show him a good time. Like, you can't, like, that guy is worthy of seeing the best. You have to give him the best.
I want to see you and Suk do a radio segment with him just to hear his takes on life because I bet you they would be fascinating.
Yeah.
And I mean in a good way. I'm not like, I would want to hear what this guy has to say about like weird stuff in America and all kinds of different
800
takes.
Times smarter, 800 exactly. times cooler than any of us.
And well thought. Not just smarter, but like they are reasonable people too.
Yeah, just I love those guys. They're just awesome. So anyway, that's where he is. She made him take off time from the show and because he was nervous about it. He asked me last week, he's like, what do we do with this guy? I mean, I don't know. He speaks broken English, but very little of it. So it's like, you know, he's coming over here, you really want to impress him. You know, like these guys have this presence about him that you're like, oh man, I really gotta, you know, like they're the king, man. I got to impress the king.
I mean, dating
and
a woman,
like,
and I want to meet the dad. Absolutely.
He's like, what do you do? Where do you take him? I'm like, take him for a nice piece of fish, which I think they did. But then after that, what do you do?
Where are they on the coast? I guess is the question.
Probably somewhere bougie.
I mean, well, that would be Cannon Beach. I love Lincoln City, but that's just not nearly as bougie as it used to be.
Well, if you're going to show someone the coast, particularly a regal Japanese businessman, you're going to Cannon Beach, aren't you?
Cannon Beach, and then Astoria probably would be second. Yeah, because you get the beach feel, and then you get the rocks right on the water feel in Astoria. So,
yeah. Yeah, so he'll probably not be impressed by, well, he may be impressed by all of it, but he won't show it at all. And I can't wait to get the full report, which will be on Thursday, by the way. So Suk will be back. So he's out today and tomorrow, and then he's back on Thursday. And
that's I can't wait for that.
That either. Report's going to be great. Because you're right, like, it'd be cool to have him in, or, like, just get his thoughts on...
I didn't know that he didn't speak English, though, so
well,
that's a little tough.
But not very well.
Yeah, I get it.
Much like me.
Well, if I spoke broken Japanese, we wouldn't want to be going on a radio show in Tokyo, that's for sure, so...
You wouldn't?
I'd be too scared. Like, if they're interviewing me in a language that I'm just not familiar with, I'd be like, probably
would you
not.
Be afraid they're trying to dupe you into... Like, if Tokyo called, like, next segment... And they're like, hey, man, we need you for the big Cal Raleigh news.
Yeah, I'd be like, who's on the other
end? We'll have an interpreter.
Is this like Ashton Kutcher's like seventh version of like Punk'd or something?
Dude, you could blow up. Dude, this is what your brand needs. You could blow up in Tokyo.
A Japanese baseball hit on
yes,
Cal Raleigh. Actually,
yes.
You know what? You're on to something, Ross.
Yes.
You're on to something.
And then you could tease your YouTube and your Mariners.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, all the Japanese people love you.
They
love the Mariners.
I don't even need America.
You actually don't. It's an untapped market for you.
And then I start my Otani coverage, and then I just take over the world.
That's right. Or do the Mariners have any Japanese guys right now? I don't think they do.
In the minors, Shintaro Fujinami.
Oh, yeah.
Just right. It was
pitcher?
Like a minor league deal, yeah. But he'll probably be up at some point.
Didn't he suck for Baltimore?
Yes. Baltimore and the
Oakland.
Cubbies a little bit.
Cubbies?
Or maybe it was Oakland, but he throws the ball really hard but can't locate it. So that's his problem. But he throws 100, so there you go.
Right.
Worth taking a shot on.
Well, back to the original topic. Mariners A's on Thursday. Should be a good time for you.
Appreciate it.
Opening day week. And I'm excited about that. I hate the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday before opening day. Well, particularly this week, because Thursday is the NCAA tournament kicking back up and opening day, which is great. But the Monday and Tuesday and the Wednesday before that, I mean, my God, how boring is this?
Yeah, there's not much going on. Blazers tonight. Woohoo!
Yeah, and Donovan Mitchell's not playing.
I know.
God!
How much were those tickets, and how pissed are Blazers fans that, or Cavs fans that put a pretty penny on those and now are probably sitting...
It's unbelievable.
...with a night free because they don't want to go.
All right, we're going to start, but we do have some things to talk about today, some sportsy things. We're going to meander today, Schultzy and I. We're going to start with understanding this Portland ballpark ask. We'll get to that next on The Fan.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That people asking it. Questions, by the way, on the text line about yesterday's podcast. Apologies, but got to remove some music from the podcasts. We got some issues with corporate, Odyssey Corporate hammering us on some inclusion of some copyrighted stuff. So
an Odyssey
see,
station.
Yeah, I see people saying, oh, Schultzy made a hack job of the podcast feed yesterday. Know what it do? No intros. Unfortunately, it's because we've got copyrighted music over all that. So I am... basically playing it safe and taking it all out. So apologies, guys, but that's just kind of what we're dealing with at the moment.
Isn't it wild that Odyssey, which is a radio company of hundreds of radio stations that plays music all across the country, does not have the copyrights to any of that music?
Well, it's different. Podcasting is not on like terrestrial radio, so like the ASCAP or whatever the hell the company is, like it's a whole different service.
Makes more sense.
So you have to pay more money to get that, if that
got
makes
it.
Sense.
It does. That I did not know.
Yeah,
you'd think I'd know that, but I don't.
I mean, why would you? You
well,
talk.
I'm in the business,
but you don't. You're not like a. You're
I'm
not
in the biz.
You're not spitting hot music every day.
But I'm a podcaster.
Just hearing you
laugh
say
that hard.
Just because you're like I feel like that's every radio host now, like, oh, I'm a podcaster, yeah, too. And I know you're doing it just in,
well, the
in
kids,
jest.
The kids love the podcast.
That's why I'm laughing. They do. They love the TikToks, baby. Got to get your podcast on TikTok now.
Say you're a radio host, they're like, what? There's still
true.
Radio?
Yeah,
you're
right.
You say you're a podcast, like, oh.
What podcast? What show?
Yeah.
So weird.
Here are a couple texts on that text line I was telling you about. What do you think the BTJ's father thinks of Sook? By the way, BTJ, I'm going to explain this again. People ask this all the time. We say it all the time,
yeah,
but for some reason people miss it. BTJ means big time Japanese. And that's because, and that's Sook's lady friend, whom he refuses to marry for some reason, because she's wonderful. His mom, Sook's mom, was introducing her one time to someone, and she said, yeah, she's Japanese. This is Ota. She's Japanese. Big time Japanese.
I love that.
So that's why he calls her the BTJ. Not sure why she said that, although I'm putting two and two together that she might be big time Japanese. This old man that's over here is like royalty.
Big time.
Yeah, he's BT. It really is BTJ. And what must BTJ's father think of Sook? Boy, that is a great question. What does an old, imposing, stately Japanese man think of Big Sook? If there's anybody that can tame Big Sook, I would think, or at least keep him in line or sort of make him fall in line, it would be an old, you know, dignified Japanese businessman.
I feel like Sook is the perfect representation,
yeah,
of America outside, yeah, of this country. Like, at least what people look at an American.
Maybe.
You know, it's like, oh, look at this big, tall, bald guy, beard.
Yeah, talks a lot.
Yeah.
A lot of stories.
Yeah. Well, that's just fun, but yeah.
I'm sure he loves Big Sook. You know, I don't know, but I can't wait to find out. Maybe they're heading to Benihana tonight. Take him over there. Schultz, what do you think about that?
I mean, I think that's a very Americanized version of what they got going on over in Asia.
Oh, you think so?
Possibly. Just a guess.
All right. Let me look at this story here. So this is from OPB. We didn't talk about this last week because it really was a nothing burger and is a nothing burger. But yet now it seems that everybody's all fired up about it.
It's weird. People don't really know how taxes work, unfortunately, though.
No, and they don't trust government.
Well, that's fair. I get that.
That is fair.
That's very fair.
So, let's see. This was yesterday. The senators down in Salem heard from both sides of a bill that would provide the money to help build the Major League Baseball stadium at Zedale Yards here in Portland, which we've talked about ad nauseum. It's Senate Bill 110. It's sponsored by Mark Meek, who is a Gladstone Democrat, and they want $800 million from bonds to help with construction of the stadium. Now, that would be shocking if you didn't know the history of this, which is the history is very simply that this bill already passed in 2003, but it was for $150 million, and of course, costs go up.
Inflation, salaries have gone up.
Salaries have gone up. Payrolls have gone up.
Cost of a stadium, yeah.
The cost, everything's gone up. So $150 million is to 2003 what $800 million is to 2025. That's all they're doing here. And they've got a new bill. I don't actually know why I guess they just have to make a new bill for a new amount. But whatever. That's minutia. The reality is nothing has changed since 2003. And that passed. Everybody was for that back in 2003. So why wouldn't you be for it now?
The number, I think just the sheer number, unfortunately.
Yeah, but that's what it, I mean, it's just what it cost. It was a big number back then. Back then, $150 million was like, oh my God.
Yeah, but back then, I feel like the economy, I mean, I don't want to get too like CNBC here. Uh-oh. On everybody, but like the economy was kind of soaring in like 02, 03, 04 before the recession hit us in 08, 09. And I don't really think people like were worried about inflation. They weren't worried about unemployment numbers. They're worried about those kinds of things now. And
come on. Come on, Rachel Maddow.
Hey.
I was alive in, before you, you young Sparky, I was alive in when the S hit the fan in 2001.
Exactly. Well, I was alive then, too. I was just not really, I was, what, 12? But I do remember.
Yeah, see, you don't remember. 2001, you know, everything changed.
No, that's fair.
In the same way.
I agree, but it still just seems like, and I don't know if it's just the fear-mongering in the media more today, but like that number, $800 million,
that's
and as high as salaries are getting for individual athletes, and that is something I do. have some contention with. Like, as much as I love Damian Lillard, for instance, I don't think anybody's worth $50, $60 million a year just in salary alone from a team. If you're getting that with your Adidas sponsorship and your Hulu sponsorship and your Damian Lillard Toyota earnings and your salary, sure. But, like, it's just starting to jump the shark a little bit. So I can understand the pushback on the $800 million number, but it's already taxed. It's already passed. So you can't really get frustrated with it because it's going to happen.
Well, it's not going to happen unless there's a stadium. That's the thing. It comes with the stadium, and if you build the stadium with that money, you will get that money back from the stadium and the people that play in the stadium, not from your pocket. It's very simple. Let me explain it like this. Okay, Schultzy,
please throw it at me like I'm 4 years old, please.
I'm going to, okay. Damn it.
What? Right.
Let's pause, though, because we're already behind. I'm going to, we'll lay it out next, but let's just say, Schultzy, I am going to build the fan a huge new live studio. It's going to be amazing.
Okay.
Nobody's ever seen anything like this studio that I'm going to build. But I need some money to do it. And I'm asking for bonds from the government. We'll lay it out. It's spring break, from what I understand. One of the cool things about when you've once raised, by the time you've raised your kids, or once you have raised your kids, is what I'm trying to say. One of the cool things about that is you instantly no longer know when spring break is. You just know it's around this time. And the only way you know is when no one's around. And that's right now. We didn't even have, our boss is out.
Yeah.
Buckley's out. Sook's out.
Traffic sucks.
Traffic sucks?
Oh, yeah. And that's a big indicator of spring break, too. Like, on a random Tuesday like this, traffic basically was hell getting in today.
So. What?
It wasn't bad on my end. But.
That's good. I come from Wilsonville, so I-5 is not.
Why do you think that is?
I've always wondered, man. I always wonder why it's like in the morning, on Fridays specifically, there's no traffic, but then coming home, even with no traffic on Fridays, there's still heavier traffic Friday afternoons. Like, just nothing makes sense, especially here. Why did we build a 2-lane highway through the middle of a Portland, like, metro area throughway and never believe that our population was going to grow? I don't know.
Well, don't they say there's no room for more lanes or something?
Probably. But,
I don't know.
But it sure as heck looks like there is. And it's like, oh, yeah, we've got an NBA team right there past our 2-lane interstate. God.
Yeah.
It's the most Portland thing in the freaking universe, dude.
Well, let's get back to Portland. We're talking about this ballpark here that they're asking for $800 million in bonds. So here's what it's like. So I was gonna tell you, Schultzy, I have big breaking news here on the station today. I'm going to build the fan a new huge live studio.
Ooh.
It's going to be right down there downtown, and it's going to be great. People will come from all over to watch the fan.
It's going
to
be the biggest and the best.
Nobody's ever seen anything like it. They will watch the fan. They will come from everywhere, every direction. You think traffic's bad now, they're going to pack the streets to come watch the fan do radio in their new studios, okay? But in order to pay for the studio, I need some monies from bonds through the state. So the state gives me that money. Let's say it's $800 million.
Okay.
It's a lot, but let's say it's $800 million. I build the studio, and the community benefits because of all the revenue it creates. People are traveling here. They're spending their money around town, hotels, rental cars, bars, restaurants, shops, you name it. But about that initial bond, I pay it back by taxing all the guests on the fan that people come to see. That's who pays. I don't tax you. I tax all the great guests we're now going to get because this big new flashy studio, they pay. And there's nothing they can do about it. Isn't that great? It's part of their job. They work in different states. They come to Oregon to do a big interview with Schultzy on the fan. They pay those state taxes. So, okay, so then once whole, all of the revenue then from that fan studio moving forward comes in from the guests in the new studio. That goes straight to the city and the state. That's how it works. That's the ballpark situation. Why would you not be for that? If you're against that, you're an idiot. And you can quote me on that.
Yeah, that's basically you are spending some money up front and making money on it. It will pay for itself. And
oh
then you in perpetuity are getting a bunch of cash back.
In perp.
In perp, baby. You're Kevin freaking O'Leary on Shark Tank, all
right? That's right.
That was his favorite word, in perpetuity.
It's actually a good business idea for once around here.
No, the city actually, I'm pretty impressed. Yeah, that they actually partnered up with Zidel here, because Zidel, I used to live on the waterfront where our old studios were up, and they were trying to put it like into this like plan for like a grocery store and like a, you know, a greenway and nice area for people to like go to restaurants. But thankfully, they screwed that one up.
Well,
and we're here.
I think the problem was that Zidel, they held firm on their price on that land for a long time.
Yes.
And, you know, they're not, I mean, you know, it's their land. I mean, it's just, it was tough negotiation, but
it's the most valuable land in the city. I understand why. You don't want to give that up for nothing.
It is certainly up there. So it's, so they got that. They want this 800 milli. That's how to explain it. Now, listen, Keith Wilson, our mayor, said this, quote, "We need a project like this to help further invigorate our recovery, change the narrative, and energize the community and state. MLB will be a part of that renaissance that we're now charting in Portland," end quote. Hallelujah. Thank you. That was always one of the talking points from the Portland Diamond Project, that, hey, look, things suck in Portland right now. You know, we're going through COVID and riots and the whole thing. But maybe, just maybe, there's an opportunity to be a part of the resurrection. Well, that's where they've got Keith Wilson on this. They got him thinking that way. Here's Tina Kotek, our fearless governor. Quote, "I'm fully supportive of what the city is trying to do, and I think we have a very unique financing tool, and I can support it. And I think it's a strong way to finance a stadium so we can have MLB come to Portland," end quote. Boom, mayor and governor on board. Why aren't you?
I mean, they see the dollar signs.
Yes, even they can see it. And they're morons.
Well, I think the only thing they can see, Rob, is dollar signs, so you know why they're supporting
it. Look, I get it, man. The issue here, and it's fair, is that the government around here has lost the benefit of the doubt from most people. And so people are naturally skeptical that there has to be a catch. And that is not as much on them as it is on how the government here has operated. And so I get the skepticism. I understand the people that say, well, there's got to be something more to it. This can't be real. You know, that's not the way. You know, whatever. I get that. They're wrong, but I get where they're coming from. So if the government wants trust, they have to earn it. And they have not. So I get why people have reservations, or they may flat out think they're getting ripped off. But in this instance, guys, it's a legit deal. Okay?
And remember, we voted for this. We were for it 20 years ago, but it is the number up front that is freaking you out. We will get that back.
Yeah, calm down, bros. We got you. Now, that's not true of a lot of things the government does, but in this instance, they got you. Okay, there's one thing that's unrelated but related to this, and we will get to that next before we turn the page. It is Isaac Sans-Souk today, but Schultz's here. On the Fan. We have breaking sports news.
This is breaking news.
The New York Giants just signed Russell Wilson to a one-year deal.
Wow.
Do you remember him? Seahawks great.
Think about it. Former Super Bowl winner.
Well, this is interesting because Aaron Rodgers hasn't signed anywhere yet.
Yeah, we were talking about this before the show.
We were, you and I. We were chewing the fat about sports.
Well, I'm fascinated about what the Vikings situation surrounding Aaron Rodgers is.
Okay, well, a couple things. One, if Russell Wilson is signing with New York, and by the way, New York also signed Jameis Winston earlier this month, so they have, you know, obviously they're not going to get Aaron Rodgers. So somebody knows something about where Aaron Rodgers is going, and I would imagine this means that Aaron Rodgers is headed to Pittsburgh, but we have not seen that deal yet.
No.
And if they don't get him, I don't know what the hell the Steelers are going to do, because aren't they all – Fields is gone, Wilson's gone. So I don't know what the Steelers do if they don't get Rodgers. I would imagine they get Rodgers.
Yeah.
But you were mentioning the Vikings.
This kind of stumbles them into Rodgers,
So there was an article yesterday – that was saying that J.J. McCarthy has not been told that he is the starter in Minnesota, And in that report, they mentioned that the Vikings may still yet come back to Aaron Rodgers. So, I don't know if I buy that, but if Rodgers, look, if maybe the Vikings are slow playing this because they're like, dude, we don't need you. And if you don't sign with Pittsburgh and New York, you have nowhere else to go. You want to win a Super Bowl. We can provide that to you. We're just going to wait it out and get you for super cheap. You know, maybe it's a negotiation. I don't know. But I can't see, I don't know. I think it makes sense for the Vikings to get Aaron Rodgers, but they may not want to put up with Aaron Rodgers. And it sounds like the report, at least last week, was that they kicked the tires and said, no, thanks. Maybe that door is still open. If that's still open, the Steelers might get screwed in all this. Russell Wilson may have just gotten tired of sitting around and waiting. He's like, screw this. I'm out of here. I'm going to New York. I can sell some jeans in New York.
Doesn't have to wait for Aaron Rodgers to set the market for him. No, absolutely not.
Well, but I think he was going to go back to Pittsburgh if Rodgers didn't go to Pittsburgh.
Looking at this deal, though, I'm thinking that New York probably offered him more money than Pittsburgh Maybe. Did with some incentives.
What's the deal?
It's a $21 million one-year deal, and what? It's $10.5 million guaranteed, which was obviously vastly different than his contract last year, but that is a reminder that he was on the league minimum because he was still getting paid from the Broncos' fully guaranteed contract to him.
So the Steelers got the best deal of ever world, of other planets, because... I mean,
that never happens.
No, and he was pretty good.
When's the last time a two-time, you know, Super Bowl winning quarterback comes in on the league minimum?
And look, he's not what he used to be, but he was pretty good for them.
Yeah.
You know, he gave him a little bit of a deep ball dimension with the you know, the little lob ball that he throws. So, and I'm not saying he's great, but at league minimum, I'll take that. But $10.5 million for the Giants, that's a deal. If I'm the Giants, that's a deal I would do.
Yeah.
I get that.
Well, you need some stability at that position.
You got to do something. Yeah. And he's a veteran. He thinks he's a leader. So he'll either piss everyone off there or be a leader. I mean, he's a good dude. So, I mean, it's like, I don't know. I think that's, I don't know how much they got Winston for, but the Giants getting Winston.
That was 2 years, $8 million, I believe.
Two and eight. Okay, yeah. So they're paying $14.5 million.
Basically.
For those two guys. I think that's worth it. That makes sense.
And you got, I mean, I would call Jameis at times competent, but you've got two quarterbacks that at any point during the season will go under center and embarrass you less than Daniel Jones did in the last few seasons. And that's
okay. Debatable with
you think?
Jameis. Yeah, dude, Jameis can turn it over more than Daniel Jones, and that's saying something.
I genuinely would rather watch Jameis Winston, though, because there are games where he can throw three touchdowns.
Yeah, no, I'd rather have Jameis than Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
But make no mistake, Jameis can embarrass you just as... I mean, he can embarrass you probably more than anyone in the league. That guy's five picks... Like, he could throw five picks tomorrow.
And maybe it was the Giants' offense, just the way that they ran it and, you know, not letting Daniel Jones throw the ball, or before Malik Nabers last year, not really having anyone to throw the ball to. So, and it's not like they're smart. They're the ones that gave up on Saquon Barkley too early.
Yeah. So, listen, Fine, whatever. They're the Giants. What did Fields get with the Jets? Can you look that up?
Yes, I believe that was like 20? 2 and 40, so 20 a year, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, think about what the Giants did better than the Jets. You get Wilson and Winston for $14
million? 2 year, $40 million, 30 guaranteed for Justin Fields from the Jets.
God!
I mean, this is the basis. So what, the second...
$20 million?
Yeah, the second-tier quarterback market is around $20 million.
Yeah, so I think the Giants did fine here. Look, it's not like they're winning the Super Bowl anyway, but that's good for them. Now, the question is what the hell is going on with Rodgers and what the hell's going on with the Steelers?
I mean, I guess if you don't think that Aaron Rodgers will end up in Pittsburgh, you were asking what the hell do they do if he doesn't. Essentially, you go to like Kirk Cousins, right? Like you call Atlanta and you're saying, hey, we might have to give up a couple of future draft picks because we're in it here. And I would say that Atlanta, I know they still have future money they can get out of with Kirk, but they still have to give him money if he's on their roster this year past that $10 million signing bonus that he just got. So I think this could be a deal that works for both sides. Atlanta would love to clear up some of that salary.
Yeah, but he's hobbled and not what he wants.
Where do the Steelers go?
If I'm Pittsburgh, I think I bet you that we hear of them signing Aaron Rodgers soon.
I would agree with you.
And that's probably why Russell Wilson ended up in New York.
It's just because it's Aaron Rodgers. We heard about that secret meeting in the Pittsburgh Steelers organizational headquarters. And
secret? Was it secret?
Well, because it wasn't known to even Aaron Rodgers' closest associates. Ian Rappaport was saying on Pat McAfee's show yesterday that just not many people actually knew what was happening. And this was a very, very close to the vest kind of thing. And when Rodgers isn't telling people around him what's going on, which is something apparently he usually does, that's saying something. So I would think it's happening, but it's probably a very tough negotiation. You know, money wise, he's trying to get those last couple of million from the Rooneys. I don't know.
Maybe the Giants are doing what Buckley has always suggested, and that is the quarterback or the quarterback bullpen game.
Yeah,
where you just rotate in quarterbacks until one has a couple good innings.
Yeah, I hate that. You know? You got two quarterbacks or three, you got none. But
DeVito, Russell Wilson, Winston, and whichever one's playing better, you leave them out there.
Give me some Tommy Cutlets. Yeah. I'd love to see the Giants' season go so bad that fans are calling for Tommy Cutlets by like.
I think he's
10.
Still there, isn't he?
I believe so. Well, he's still their third stringer.
Keep four quarterbacks, and you just you never know which quarter they're going to play. Throw the opponent off.
Tommy DeVito, he is our third quarter guy. Russell's our fourth quarter guy. That'd be weird.
All right. Well, anyway, that's the latest. Russ is going to New York to play for the Giants.
Do you think that the Minnesota Vikings maybe not telling J.J. McCarthy yet that he's the franchise quarterback to be means that they're still interested in Aaron Rodgers? I mean, that report said that like they told Aaron Rodgers face-to-face a week or two ago, we don't want you, but apparently still come this summer, he's available.
Let me tell you what I think, Schultzy.
All right.
You old son of a bitch. Let me tell you something. Vikings, if I put it this way. If you watched Aaron Rodgers in that dumb show that he did all about himself, I forget what it was called.
Doesn't matter.
He mentions many times Peyton Manning winning a Super Bowl in Denver. He wants to win another Super Bowl. And the best place for him to do that is Minnesota. So if I'm going to put two and two together here, the fact that Aaron Rodgers has not signed with the Steelers to me means that Minnesota may still be in play. So that's what I'd like to tell you, Schultzy.
Okay.
You old son of a bitch.
And I think you're right about that. I think that's the question I was asking you. Okay. And so the answer to that is
there's the
yes.
answer. And we need to change this drop.
Hey, Seattle.
To Hey, New York.
Ooh,
hey, Seattle.
Mr. Unlimited.
Mr. Unlimited's going to New York.
Could you imagine? Mr. Unlimited Jeans.
He's going to love it there.
Oh, yes, he will.
And so is his wife. He'll fit right in there.
Yeah, but if he doesn't play well, he's going to hate it really quick. Well, I'm not saying that he's going to, but New York spits the athletes out that don't do so well.
But, you know, I mean, he's following. Who is he even following? Who was their quarterback last year?
I mean, it was Daniel until about week, until what, week 10 or 11 when they released him, and then it was Drew Locke, and then I think Tommy Cutlets by the end again.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not like he's following a legend, you know?
I mean, they haven't had it going on since what? Their Super Bowl appearance, win, with Eli last?
Well, it wasn't that long ago. And don't act like it's been like the Browns.
No, you're right, but I guess then just because it's New York fans, they think that they should be successful immediately again. Like, you guys got Eli. Like, you were lucky. Yeah.
Someone asked, why is Minnesota the number one landing spot for a Super Bowl when they've never won a Super Bowl and haven't been since, like, the 70s? Because they're the best team.
Yeah, they're
there's only two options here.
Come on, their defense is amazing. They were the best blitzing team in all the NFL last year.
What's the matter with you people?
The most, like,
come on!
Are you kidding me? Aaron Jones, Justin Jefferson, stop.
Stop
They were 14-2, and they have one of the best head coaches in the league.
Yeah!
Just because they haven't been to a Super Bowl yet doesn't mean they shouldn't be in one.
Yeah!
Come on!
Doesn't mean they can't.
There's my suit for today.
Idiot. Well, anyway, there's a little late-breaking football news. Okay, so let's get back to this. I got one more thing on this baseball, the Portland ballpark situation. It's unrelated, but it's related, so we'll get to that when we return on The Fan.